Genesis 45, verse 1 through 28. Genesis 45, verse 1 through 28. Amen. Yes, he is. I'm going to have, again, some readers from the audience. Sister Whitmore, I ain't seen you in a while. I want you to read verse 1 through verse 13. Genesis 45, verse 1.
Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, so that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. And Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt." Verse 5. "And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life."
13.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'm sorry. 6. "For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, mm-hmm. and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me mm-hmm. here, but God."
Mm-hmm. All right.
"He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all of the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen and you shall be near me. You and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty." Hmm. "And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, mm-hmm. that it is my mouth that speaks mm-hmm. to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Amen.
Amen. Sister Virginia, can you read the rest of it for me? 14 down to 28.
Verse 14. "Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." Mm-hmm. "When the report was heard in Pharaoh's house, 'Joseph's brothers have come,' it pleased Pharaoh and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Say to your brothers, do this. Load your beasts and go back to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come to me, and I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land.'" Mm-hmm. Verse 19, And you, Joseph, are commanded to say, "Do this. Take wagons from the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, mm-hmm. and bring your father and come. Have no concern for your goods, for the best of the land of Egypt is yours." The sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons, according to the command of Pharaoh. and gave them provisions for the journey. To each and all of them he gave a change of clothes, but to Benjamin he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of clothes. To his father he sent as follows: 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and provision for his father on the journey. Then he sent his brothers away, and as they departed, he said to them, "Do not quarrel on the way." Verse 25, so they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to their father Jacob. And they told him, "Joseph is still alive."
Yes.
"And he is ruler over all the land of Egypt." Mm-hmm. "And his heart became numb, for he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them, and when he saw the wagons that Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of their father Jacob revived. And Israel said, 'It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die.'"
For a short, my title's getting a little long here, so y'all just bear with me. The purpose of God in a strange land. The purpose of God in a strange land. Joseph has been on a journey, I tell you, sold out by his brothers, sold into slavery. It's not by chance that Potiphar get him. Potiphar buys him, and he's now a house servant. He's in the house. It's all going well. Potiphar's wife, come here, example girl. Don't be huffing. Potiphar's wife see Joseph, good-looking guy, young guy, see him. And she wants him. And it goes down day after day after day. One day it got to the point to where she's not just talking no more. It's now physical. So she grabs Joseph's clothes, and I illustrated last week after I get my collar snatched, that he left his coat. He left his coat. Left his cloak with his assailant, and he was gone. And I encouraged you that she had the cloak, but she didn't have Joseph. She said, "This is what he did." Potiphar came home. She told her husband. Her husband put him in the king's prison. Something like a federal medium security thing with cable TV and, you know, you got visits. And now it was supposed that he did something to Potiphar's wife, but he goes to medium security. Listen, you all, he had to get to medium security because he had some more appointments in that jail. There comes to that jail two of Pharaoh's servants. They have dreams, Sister Virginia. They couldn't handle the dreams. Joseph interprets the dreams. One is to die with his head cut off, and the other is to be restored back to his position. Now, before the one is restored back to his position, Joseph tells him, "Remember me." And promptly he goes back to his position, and he forgot about Joseph. I think it was a span of about 2 more years. And then the big boy had a dream. Pharaoh. He had a dream he couldn't handle. What is this? 7 plump cows coming up out of the Nile, which for the Egyptians was a sign of life. Coming up out of the Nile, and then they get eaten by 7 skinny cows. Pharaoh couldn't sleep. The one who was not supposed to forget Joseph says, "Well, all the diviners in Egypt couldn't handle that at all." This is a principle for you all. The world cannot handle what only God can handle. If my situation needs addressing, only God can fix that.
All right.
I shouldn't have to call an astrologer to try to get a reading, because God knows the end from the beginning. They said, there's one in whom the Spirit of God dwells. He interpreted my dream. They sent for Joseph. The Bible says they change his clothes, get him all cleaned up. He comes before Pharaoh. Pharaoh gives him the dream. Joseph said, God's going to interpret this thing for you. It's not Joseph that's doing it. It's God in Joseph doing it. Whatever you do in the kingdom of God, it's not Sister Teresa that's doing it. It's not Brother Taylor that's doing it. It's not AJ that's doing it. It's God working in them for his glory. Joseph interprets the dream. He said, you need to get a man who can handle all that I've told you. The king says, now who else can do this except there be the Spirit of God in him? This shepherd boy sold into slavery in Potter's house in jail helps two servants of Pharaoh out. And then he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And now Pharaoh says, I'm going to make you second in Egypt, only to me. Did you hear me? He go from this point to this point. Now, listen, who else would have wrote a story like that, sister? That would have made a miniseries that would have got so much viewing. Who would have wrote a story like that? But you know, when you go God's way and you do what he wants you to do, he displays his power through you. Inside of what was going on there, they kept observing the Spirit of God is with him. God is with him. Listen. Now, Joseph didn't even get Potiphar. Are you listening? You put me in jail wrongly. Now I'm second in command in Egypt. And he didn't get Potiphar. Interesting. When you're doing what God wants you to do, I don't want to take care of you. I want to bless you by living holy in front of you. We come up on the text. There's a famine. Interesting. God is so powerful. There's a famine in the land. It even stretches to Cana. The famine is so stiff until they use up all their supplies. And they hear that there is food in Egypt. God not only gets Joseph where he needs to be, but he's moving all his brothers to where he is. Listen. The relationship was fragmented in his home country with his brothers. So why in the world do I have to get to a strange country to get my relationship mended up again? God moves his brothers. They come because they hungry. Interesting. They hungry, but it's really the will of God that you get to Egypt. They come, Joseph notices them, but they don't know Joseph. They don't know Joseph. Joseph says, you all are spies. You come to do the Mission Impossible thing. You come to spy out the land. That's what you come to do. They said, no. We have a father back in Canaan. We got a brother back in Canaan. We just come to get some food. No, y'all spies. You come to spy out the land. That's what you come to do. Joseph, listen, I think this comical passage. He just rake them over the coals. Y'all spies? No, we not. Y'all spies? No, we not. No, we're not y'all spies. He just rake them over the coals. Listen, he having a little fun with his brothers. I probably would have did worse. Guards, I think these are spies. Spears on them. It's like, so, he puts the money back in his sack, sent them back to Cana, to the father. Now, Joseph tells his brothers, you won't see my face again unless you bring your brother Benjamin. Jacob's another one of his favorite sons by Rachel, his beloved. He get back, famine still stiff. Jacob says to them, y'all need to get back to Egypt and get us something to eat. They said, the man said, unless we bring our brother, don't come back here. Jacob said, no. I've lost one. I'm not going to lose another one. You all got a terrible track record. I've lost one. I'm not going to lose another one. And then the brother started guaranteeing, listen, I'll guarantee that we'll bring them back. If we don't bring them back, let it be on my head. They didn't say that about Joseph, did they? They ready to get rid of him. They go back. There's one who's kept there to make sure they get back. That's interesting. They didn't go back until they was out of food. They went back. They come before Joseph. They bring Benjamin. And we come up on our text. The Bible says in verse 1, Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood before him. He cried, make everyone go out from me. So let no one stay with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. You know what? Be careful. Your sin will find you out. Your sin will find. That's why we don't need to play around with sin, Pastor. Because somewhere along the line, it's going to be uncovered. My sin. We think everything is kept in the dark, Brother Ernest. And then God comes along, sister. You're exposed now. You thought you were, thought you got away, but I exposed you. And I brought you to a strange land to expose you. I want you all to keep in mind that there was a problem with the relationship between him and his brothers. God is a God of reconciliation. And no matter what he has to do, really, he can literally get you back together. But the way he's going to get you back together is not the way that you want. All right. Verse 4, so Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please. Wait a minute, I done sold you into slavery and you asking me to come close to you? Do you have a knife or something in your hand? You really, really want to get it straightened out now and you want me to come close? And they came near and said, I'm your brother Joseph. Can you believe that? What? Joseph? We thought you were gone, man. We thought we were through with you. Joseph, how can this be? He said, I'm your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Verse number 5. Now do not let it distress you or anger with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me to preserve life. Literally, God sent me here. Your circumstances have you somewhere, but if you're called according to his purpose, he has you where he wants you to be. No matter what, how your circumstances have gotten you there, God really got you where he needs you to be. Whether it be on your job, there's a mosque over there by the house, over there off 270. And I used to drive by there, I'll be honest with y'all. And I used to say, man, they got cameras all over that place. What, they scared somebody going to bomb that place or something? And then I drive by with some thoughts in my mind. I'm not sure if somebody take care of that place. Muslims, take care of that place. And then one day, brother, it dawned on me, what in the world am I saying that for? I need to be, Sister V, are you laughing? You're not like that, are you? Like me. I need to be praying for them that God would save them.
That's right.
As opposed to somebody going in there and do some terrorist type thing to them. Because my mind has been changed now. I'm for reconciliation as opposed to terrorism.
Amen.
So I just exposed myself again, Pastor. So I guess you could excommunicate me now. I'm a bigot. God sent him there by way of a famine. Sent his brother there by way of a famine. God said he sent Joseph there for him to preserve a remnant on the earth to keep alive. That's verse 7. For you, many survivors. God is so faithful. Go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. I know we went there last week. I didn't get quite enough. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Joseph said, God sent me here to preserve much life. Much life. Genesis 15, verse 13, as soon as you get there.
Certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there.
Hold on. Listen. This is 15. We're in what? 45 now. So the real purpose of the movement was to keep his word that he made to Abraham. Joseph said he sent me here to save much life. The real thing is that God gave Abraham his word. He said, this is what's going to happen to your descendants. So now they're moving, no matter how they're moving, by the will of God to keep the word of God to a servant that's dead.
Okay.
He didn't really get to see that, but God still kept his word. Because what? He's faithful.
That's right.
What has he said to you? You think it's not going to come to pass? You better look at the text. He brings everything he says he does. Go ahead. I'm sorry, brother.
You're fine. Know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years.
Promises kept. God promised, and he kept them. Egypt was the most powerful country on the planet at that time. God got his, listen, he's a Hebrew in an Egyptian country. He's not only in an Egyptian country, but he's second in command. And he's a Hebrew. And he's a shepherd. If you look at the text, the Hebrews despise shepherding. Only God can make those type of moves. Wherever you are, God has you there. You know, I said to myself one time, I said, Billy, you really shouldn't be here. But God has you where he wants you to be. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how impossible it looks. He has you where he wants you to be. Joseph is happy. His brothers are happy. He says in verse number 9, he says, hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me and do not tarry. Listen, Joseph was not only happy, but Pharaoh was happy. An Egyptian, he was happy that a Hebrew father of Joseph was coming back. He was happy. God gave favor to Joseph, even to an Egyptian king who thought himself to be a god. That was their thing. They thought they were gods. They were mortal, but they thought they were gods. He gave him favor with Pharaoh. What does the principle say to me? Whatever you enjoy, wherever you at, God has given you that by his spirit. But my job is not quite the best. It's paying the bills, and I want nothing. I don't want to go there. I'll be in trouble with my wife. She's always giving me the eye. Better stop talking about your job. God gave you that job. And you better work as you work unto the Lord. Listen. Reconciliation. God in a strange land brings some brothers who thought they got rid of their dreamer brother, as they call him. Here comes this dreamer. What is he going to say now? When they saw him? Before they sold him. God is about reconciliation. No matter how he has to do it. They're in a, listen, why are we so hard-headed? Why can't we reconcile Pastor normally? Yeah, brother, I forgive you. I messed up. I forgive you. Why does God now have to shake us up and get us in a strange company for country for us to be reconciled? Because we're hard-headed, stiff-necked individuals. Oh, sorry, I should have said that to me. Listen. My God is about reconciliation. It says his brothers, before they sold him, they were not able to speak to him peaceably. But now they're talking to him in a strange land. Y'all know when I turn the page, I'm almost through. Don't go to sleep. Listen, Pharaoh's not only happy, he sends U-Haul trucks for them to go take their stuff back to Canaan. Y'all take these U-Hauls back with you. And Sister Sheila, he sent them back, but they're not empty. It's got stuff from Egypt in them to take back to Canaan, so that they can bring their little ones with them and they can bring Jacob back. If I fast forward, on the way, Jacob stops at a place. He talks to God, and God says, Jacob talks to God. God says to Jacob, he said, I myself will be with you. Don't be afraid to go down because I myself will be with you. The principle says, personally, I'm going to take care of you, so don't be afraid. Yeah. Listen, they gave them the best land in all of Egypt, Goshen. There was another one that God sent on a mission from, sent him in a very strange way. His journey with us started in a place called Bethlehem of Judea. If you think Joseph's trip where he needed to be was interesting, he was born in a manger in Bethlehem of Judea, with the stable animals in a stinking stable. He sent him to Bethlehem of Judea in a stinky stable. He was raised in Nazareth of Galilee. At the age of 30, he was tested in the wilderness and he was found to be gold. He was found to be a genuine article. He came out of the testing, baptized, the Spirit of God descended on him like a dove, and the rulers of that time hated him. Who you think you are? Are you a reincarnation of Joseph or what? Who you think you are? Given up to the Romans by his own people, sold out by one of his disciples, 30 pieces of silver. But I tell you what, Joseph's was only just a slight parallel to his. This Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of David, he went all the way to the cross for you and for I.
That's right.
That journey he took saved me. And it saved you. The Bible says, Philippians 1:6, for he who started a good work in you is able to complete it until the coming again of Jesus Christ. He finished his work on the cross of Calvary so that you don't have to die, you can live. As Joseph got to Egypt and the food was there and their lives were saved, Jesus got to the cross, gave himself so that you can live and I can live. Now I'm free. Indeed. The Bible says he who the Son has set free is free indeed. I'll tell you the truth. Joseph did good, but Jesus did better. He saved me. He saved me. Jesus, the cross. The Bible says if they, the rulers of this world had known what they were doing, they would not have crucified him, the Lord of glory. Because, listen, on the cross, he won the victory. Wait a minute. It looked like you got me. You got me on this cross. I'm hanging. I'm bleeding out. I can't breathe properly because I can't stand up because my feet are nailed together. But I'm staying there. It looked like you got me. But listen. In a place of death, God brings life. That's why when I used to curse, I don't have to curse no more. Because of Jesus. He brought it. He kept it. Jesus. Joseph is all right. But Jesus is better. Because he finished it. He finished it. Listen. Abraham with his son. Isaac, got him on the altar, He got the knife in his hand. Boom. He about to plunge the knife into the boy and kill him. But the angel from heaven stopped him. Abraham, Abraham. Listen. This Jesus, he was just a kind of a symbol. The knife did not stop coming down for Jesus. It kept on coming because Billy needed to be saved. Audrey needed to be saved. Sister Tina needed to be saved. It kept on coming. There was no voice from heaven that said, stop. The knife kept coming down. Plunge. The cross of Calvary, we're saved. That's why I'm free today. Because Jesus paid it all. The purpose of God in a strange place, it is strange. But the results are amazing. And listen, the results are not just for you. They're for the people around you. I'm tired now. The purpose of God in the strange land. Think about it. Live it. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Think on these things, Brother Peter.